Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. If you've ever been a stargazer, learning to recognize the constellations, stars, identifying planets, and in the glorious experience of a clear night, perhaps even at high altitude, far from any city or town, simply been in awe of the immensity of the universe, you'll know how difficult it is then to explain this kind of wonder to someone else the next day, unless they've had the same experience. You've probably said you just can't take a picture of it. Pictures don't do it justice. And you may have just said nothing at all and simply been quiet about the experience, knowing that there was nothing that could be said. Words like awesome, enormous, glorious don't even come close. After having had a few of these experiences, having learned the constellations and stars and planets, you may have had the further experience of sitting under the stars with a friend and trying to explain to that friend what it is that you are seeing. And perhaps you've made the absurd gesture of staring out into the expanse and trying to point at a star with your finger. You on the surface of planet Earth, pointing out stars that are light years away, extend your 2.5 foot long arm and then your 2.5 inch long finger as if to point with a laser beam at the star that you mean to describe. And you line up your vision with your fingertip and say to the other person, "See, it's that one right there." And the other person looks over at your arm and sees the finger, thinking, "You do realize that in order for me to see what you're seeing, I would have to be you. For me to see what you're seeing, I would have to be you." Our Lord Jesus Christ made it his practice to teach people using parables. And of course, a parable is a story that has as its point something parallel to the story, but outside the story. We use the word illustration very well when we speak about parables, because an illustration is an image of something the communicator is trying to communicate. An artist may practice their craft by, for instance, painting. In painting, making things look, as I like to say, look like what they look like. And some will say that an artwork comes closest to, or that the art that comes closest to a photograph is the best and the most skilled artwork. But most would say that the best artwork, whether it looks like what it looks like or not, communicates to the viewer something much deeper. It inspires or breathes into the viewer either something of what the artist feels about the world, or draws out of the viewer some feeling about life that he or she has found it difficult to express with words, but something in that image or that artwork does. We can guess that Jesus, in his parables that we've heard today, is not really teaching about shepherds, about proper technique of how to find a sheep. If he was, I'm sure that when he first told this parable, the carpenter, somewhere in the group of hearers there was a shepherd who would say, "Actually, if you lose one sheep out of 100, that's not what you do. The technique is different." You can guess that Jesus was not teaching the women amongst the group how to look for a lost coin. And likewise, you can imagine there was a housekeeper amongst the hearers who had said if she had kept her house clean in the first place, perhaps she wouldn't have lost a coin. And could you imagine having to sweep to look for a coin? Yuck. Instead of teaching about sheep or housekeeping, what Jesus was doing was much more like the stargazers. What they do to solve the problem of trying to point out a star or a constellation. He first of all found something in the heavens that his hearers understood and recognized, and then from that fixed point drew attention to the point he meant others to see. To anyone who has had someone else point to a star and said to themselves, "For me to see what you're seeing, I would have to be you," Jesus is saying, "Let me show you what it's like to be me." And we'll start with something that you know. You know the experience of losing something valuable, and then finding it. You've lost one of something that you had 100 of, and you know how annoying that was. You had a perfect 100, and now you have 99. You know what it's like to lose something that you only had 10 of, something that perhaps was going to pay for food and for the mortgage and the power bill. We can perhaps, some of us, remember how panicked and sick so many people felt in 2008 when the market crashed for a while. Almost lost something valuable to me, these ones who searched for their 100th sheep and their 1 in 10 coin. I almost lost something valuable to me, and then I found it. How grateful I am just to get back to the state of what I had in the first place. Let's throw a party to celebrate everything getting back to normal. Jesus says, do you see that portrait that I'm painting? Do you understand this illustration? Can you see now what I'm pointing at? This is what it's like to be me when I've finally found you again. This is what it's like to be a part of the heavenly host when the lost soul is finally found. It's like a shepherd who finds a sheep and brings it back to the fold. It's like losing a tenth of your savings and then getting it back. You see now what I mean when I say there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth, and even likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. I'm not sure if you've thought of this before, but it's a great privilege to have the Lord speak to us in this way. And there's a calling here for you that we must not miss. The main point of the parable is not truly, if you get lost, the Lord will search for you and even send out people in his name to find you. If you hear the parable and think that the point of the parable is no matter what you do and how awfully you behave, God will always search for you and find you in the end. That's not really what Jesus is saying. The message of Christ is this: can you see what it's like to be me? Can you see what it is to be Christ-like? Can you see now where the real party is? You can't yet see the constellation. You can't yet see the planet that I'm pointing at. Well, come and see the world from my perspective. It's like a woman who's lost a coin and searched until she found it and then called everyone together to rejoice with her because the lost was found. Do you hear what I'm saying? Can you see what I'm seeing? Will you stop being the lost coin and start being the sweeper? Will you stop being the lost sheep or even the prodigal son? Will you just join the search party? Or will you simply just join with the heavenly host, come and celebrate with the people of God at the banquet? Of course, you don't know what it's like to be God the Father, but I've given you the experience of being a part of a family. Can you see what it's like to be me? You don't know what it's like to be God the Holy Spirit, moving here and there as the wind without being seen, but I've given you the Holy Spirit to dwell in you. And you know what it's like to be led by the Spirit and not by the flesh. Can you feel what it's like to be me? And you don't know what it's like to be God incarnate. You don't know what it's like to be the Son of God, begotten, not made. But you're getting closer now. God incarnate knows what it's like to be you. He's been tempted in all things, but without sin. He has grown up in a home, in a family. He's had a mother and an adoptive father. He has learned a trade. He's had a favorite food. He's had friends, no doubt. He has suffered loss. He has suffered betrayal. He has suffered violence. He has even suffered death. He knows what it's like to be you. Now he gives you a parable so you can understand what it's like to be him. He is the good shepherd. And he knows what it is to throw a party when a lost sheep is found. Will you join? He is like the woman who searched for the lost coin, and he knows what it is. when the lost is found? Will you forget about your love of being lost and just join the search? He's like the father of the prodigal son who runs out to welcome back the penitent. Would you like to know the kind of joy that can endure the suffering of a long wait, a long search, but in the end erupts into pure elation? In these parables, the Lord asks you today to come close, come alongside him, look along his strong arm as he points to see what it is in this world that he sees. He asks you to treasure what he treasures, to rejoice in what he rejoices in, to join in what he's doing. For there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.